Well, welcome back to our Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and with me in the studio is Mr. Jerry Fry. Jerry, you and I have been talking the last couple of times about a special meeting coming up on Tuesday, April 24th, 7 p.m. at Brookside Baptist, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, and that's our church, and we are excited about having the Creation Science Society of Milwaukee holding its meeting, and you are the featured speaker. And Jerry, you're talking about the origin and the beauty and then wrath. And you were just sharing some of those things with us this last time. But Jerry, what can you share with people who are so wrapped up in science and I guess maybe the headiness of, you know, I know more than you know. And so how would you help a person like that understand the importance of coming back to God?
Yeah, that's a great question, Greg, and I guess it's the central question, isn't it?
It really is, because that's where our world is.
Yeah, you know, it is. Maybe what I could do is give you a couple of examples of how you can look at what we would consider to be regular, ordinary things in nature and how they really do testify to God,
okay,
even though they're pretty scientific in their application. And the first place I would take you is to maybe a butterfly and the blue morpho. So if you put blue morpho in Google, you know, it'll come up.
Okay.
And it'll talk about a concept called iridescence. And you'll see the most beautiful, gorgeous blue butterflies come up. But I would tell you, if you had an opportunity to see those butterflies and you turned them around, you would see there's actually no color at all in there. And so iridescence comes from something called photonic crystals or laminae, which you need to look under a microscope to see, about 20,000 power, and they'll emerge. And so what these laminae or photonic crystals do is they take light and break it into its discrete frequencies, like a prism, break it into the rainbow,
right,
as it were.
Right.
Only this is down, remember, on the nano level on a butterfly's wing.
Yeah.
And then succeeding layers, so there are more than one layer of these crystals, they will use interference and convergence to block out the colors you shouldn't see. So all the colors are manifest in the light, but only the blue ones come back out. And as you change your aspect to the wing, you change your aspect slightly to these crystals.
Okay.
And so you can see a little bit of a shimmering. That's
okay,
where that idea of iridescence comes
right,
from.
Right, right.
The interesting thing is that these morphs come in about 100 different varieties, colors from kind of a yellowish to a brownish green, and blue is the most common. But the backs of these butterflies, in fact, have pigment, unlike the fronts. And these pigments are designed to look precisely like the trees in the area where each butterfly roams. So each one has a customized back for its species, for its range, where it's located. And when you see these next to each other, which I'll have examples at the event, it's absolutely spectacular. It's stunning.
Mm.
And so we would have to believe that somehow this creature in itself has this ability to generate a pattern on the back of its wings that matches the local trees.
So they can blend in.
Right. Either you believe that, and remember, it has to happen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. So you get the idea that this evolutionary process has to be repeated over and over again.
That takes a lot of belief, doesn't it?
It does. Mm-hmm. It does.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can go through something very simple like that, which has unbelievable beauty.
Right.
Speaking of the science, though, of iridescence, this is the science that that application or an application of that is now used in our new bills. U.S. bills,
you'll notice, has
that little shimmery stuff
right,
in there.
Right, right.
Well, those are essentially photonic crystals
woven
into the money cloth.
Okay.
And it becomes very difficult to counterfeit that.
Right.
And so that's one application of this idea of iridescence. There are also fish, there are beetles, there are blue jays, there are other things in creation that have this. There's no particular reason for it. It's not used for mating. As a matter of fact, when they get in trouble, they close it up and cover it up because it brings attention to them.
Well,
and
sure,
that's not
yeah.
something they necessarily want.
Right.
So when we go back to Darwin on Origin of Species, there's actually a part of that book that's not talked about a lot, but it's the idea of beauty. And the existence of beauty and the origin of beauty and the purpose of beauty. And Darwin acknowledges, amongst many other things, that would be great challenges to his theory, that if beauty exists in and of itself for its own purposes, then it would be a serious challenge to the theory of evolution. And so as we look at beauty, there's all kinds of other places we can look. When we look at the autumn leaves changing, people don't think about it. But the reason that we can observe that, interestingly enough, has to do with the tilt of the earth, has to do with the fact that the sun is emitting light in a very unusual spectrum, that light comes that way, that the tilt of the earth is just right, that the earth has uranium in its crust, which allows for a clear atmosphere. We're the only clear atmosphere in the solar system. So not only is this a place where we can look up and acknowledge that the heavens do declare the glory of God,
right,
but we can see it. Not only is this a place where humans can live, and butterflies for that matter, this is a place where we can observe the rest of the solar system. So then we get this light that comes down. It turns out that the chlorophyll is there all the time. The leaves are green all the time. It's just that there are three other separate chemical processes, and I'll go through them. But at the end of the day, there are three very different processes that work for three different reasons to create the oranges and the yellows and the browns, etc. And so the sum of this is there is an incredibly complicated set of things that have to happen over a very short period of time for this color, this unbelievable manifestation of beauty in the woods to manifest. So we have to have certain things in the solar system. We have to have the right kind of sun. We have to have a clear atmosphere. And then we have to have this very complicated chemical process, all for the purpose of providing colored leaves. As far as I can tell, humans are the only people who can appreciate this.
I see.
So not only do humans have certain intellect, but we can recognize information in nature, and we can recognize aesthetics in nature, things that exist purely for beauty, not just for function.
Right, right.
Because there's really no function to the changing of the leaves.
Exactly, right.
And so I would take you below the sea maybe for one more example. We get to, in the shallow waters, certain squid that in the shallow waters, the danger for anything that moves in the water is that they will cast a shadow on the bottom.
Yeah.
And other fish will see that. And even if they can't see you, you know, your lunch.
Right.
So the issue is these squid have the ability through things called photosites on the bottom of their body to literally emulate the rays of the sun or moonbeams or starlight on the bottom and make themselves invisible so they don't cast a shadow. What an incredible, incredible provision of the Creator. And we'll take you through some of those. And then we get to something which I have to tell you, these are really gross. These are sea slugs. They're they're a few inches long. They're very slimy.
Slimy.
You know, yuck. Except that I would suggest that if you think that something slimy and gross can't be beautiful, you should go to Google and go to Google Images and put in nudibranch. That's N-U-D-I branches, nudibranch. They are sea slugs. That's the scientific name. And you will find the most unbelievable array of the most gorgeous creatures you have ever seen.
Oh, my goodness.
And we'll spend some time on this.
Sure.
And nudibranch are found as deep as 15,000 feet. Now, the interesting thing is that sunlight diffuses in the ocean very quickly. And so by the time you get to 100 meters, you're in the aphotic zone. That's where only 1% of the light is left.
Right.
And so in many cases, red is gone by the first 20 feet. And yet you'll find all of these colors in all of these places all over in the ocean. So why are they there? Why do they exhibit all this unbelievable beauty? Well, it turns out, as far as we can tell, the only creatures that can observe this are humans.
Right.
Because we're the only ones that can create artificial natural light through very elegant mechanisms, and we can create this light that can handle the cold and the pressure and everything else of the going down in the sea. And so we can take it down there. When we go down there, we get to see this beauty.
Right.
It's just there waiting for us. It serves no other purpose.
Mm.
And then just because I believe God has a tremendous sense of humor, as you get to the vents along the ocean floors, we find these tube worms. And these tube worms are red. Now, they're down at 5,000 plus feet.
Right.
Okay, so they're way down. And at the end of the day, red was the first color that disappeared almost
within
right
20
surface.
Feet. Yeah.
So at the end of the day, why are they red? Well, they're red because they have hemoglobin like us. Well, why do they need the hemoglobin? They need the hemoglobin so they can take oxygen out of the seawater and give the oxygen to the bacteria that live in their gut. The bacteria that live in their gut actually take the chemicals coming out of the hydrothermic vents, which are toxic to us.
Okay.
You know, remember, they're down at crushing pressures, freezing temperatures, no light.
Mm-hmm.
And they convert these chemicals into organic molecules, which become food for the tube worms.
Oh, my goodness.
So we have a symbiotic system down there that actually is beautiful, and we'll take you down and show you some of that.
Yeah.
But how in the world did that evolve? The bacteria first? Well, the bacteria can't live without the tube.
Exactly.
The tube worm can't live without the bacteria. I mean, you can go place after place after place on the planet, and you find evidence that God was there, and he was just waiting for man to come. And so I believe, Greg, that when God says, seek me and you'll find me, he doesn't mean just in his word. I think he means in his creation, too.
Right, right.
If you seek him, you'll find him.
If you seek me with all your heart.
Right.
And so it becomes a heart issue. Well, Jerry, thank you so much for sharing just a few illustrations. And I trust that this will just whet your appetite to be with us this next Tuesday night, April 24th, 7 p.m. at Brookside Baptist Church. We're located at 4470 North Pilgrim Road here in Brookfield. If you're unable to attend for some reason, you can watch his presentation online at www.brooksidelive.org. And I know that if you are able to be there, it'll be much better. You can ask questions as time goes along. And take some folks with you who are maybe struggling with the whole concept of creation and help them to see that indeed there is truth that can be presented in a living, logical way to help you to understand every word of God is inspired and is true, and therefore giving us a knowledge of God. Well, until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.